Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I decided when to wake up this morning. Set my alarm clock for 6 o'clock. And then I snoozed it for the next 45 minutes. I decided what to eat for breakfast. It was eggs. I will decide what to eat for lunch and for dinner, or really my wife will decide for me. Because granted, I'm a little indecisive sometimes. It happens, right? But I decide, right? I decide what words will pour over my mouth. I decided how to write this sermon for this morning. I decide how to pastor the church. Now, sometimes when I make these decisions, sometimes they're good. And, you know, we always try to make good decisions. But sometimes I make bad decisions. But all in all, the decisions are mine to make. In short, I am a manager. I manage my own life. And you manage yours. This is what Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 16. And it's a difficult parable to understand. There are many different, you know, facets, many different avenues that people talk, or that people use when they talk about this particular sermon. But it's honestly, it's considered one of the hardest parables in all of Scripture because things get really weird around verse 8 of our text. And so if you were to open your Bible right now, if you were have one in front of you, you'd probably see a heading that comes right above this parable. It's like the shrewd manager or the dishonest manager. And in verse 8, we really have to kind of step back and ask what Jesus is trying to tell us. It says, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So is Jesus telling us that we should be shrewd, like crafty and clever in some sort of like underhanded way? I don't think so. Surely Jesus cannot be telling us to have like shady business practices or something. However, the master in the parable, while he is not, you know, happy about being taken advantage of, he does recognize that his manager is very clever. Very clever, right? He used his position, he used his management, not for his master's wealth, but in order that he might make friends. He understood the value of what he had been given in his position, and he leveraged that for a long-term reality. That's why he's commended. Not because he's doing something good, but because he is using what is before him. Okay? So, as the parable goes, Jesus tells us at the end, right? Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And of course he closes with, you cannot serve God and money. Now, money really doesn't gather the whole weight of the word. In the Greek, and if you have KJV, I'm pretty sure it uses the word mammon. Mammon is more than just money. It talks about riches, possessions, property, things of this earth that we consider to be treasures, right? The physical things that we want to gather to ourselves. That's what mammon is. And so as we reflect on this parable, and as we bring it almost to our own time in 2022, how have we been as managers? I mean, the Lord commands us to be faithful in much and to be faithful in little. Yet, how much of our management, how much of our stewardship is unjust? We waste our wealth on what, Amazon deliveries? Anybody relate? We fill our houses with all manners of things that are unnecessary. We like to consume things, right? And so we spend throughout the year, and then, you know, around Christmas time when we start to think of other people and we want to, like, you know, fill a grocery or a garbage bag with like things for Goodwill. It's disgusting. Because we've amassed all this stuff that we didn't need, and now it's just being given away. Or, you know, worse yet is, you know, maybe it gets thrown out. Or worse yet even than that is that we just keep it all. We just, like, pack rat ourselves in to, like, gather all of this mammon stuff to ourselves. And that's just the mammon. That's just the stuff part. Like, God has given us time, too. We manage our time well. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. And yet, what do we use it for? We waste our lives staring at computers and TVs and smartphone screens. Every single Sunday, my phone gives me a notification telling me how long, on average, I have looked at my phone every day. This week, it was 2 hours and 21 minutes a day, staring at this stupid little screen. And for what? Most of the time, what comes through the screen isn't all that wholesome to begin with, right? And it gets even worse because we then, you know, we convince ourselves through Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all these things that we're actually like building real relationships or learning something that's actually useful. And yet it's not. I can't tell you how many times I see teenage kids now who are staring at their phones when they're all hanging out together. Instead of investing in like the real relationships that are there, like the real relationships that we have as we come together as church, and yet they're caught up in a phone, a fake community. Treasure, time, talents too. Right? We'd rather use our abilities to be self-serving rather than to serve others. It all boils down to one thing. We're not faithful in the little things. We're not. And nor then will we be faithful with the big things. We are poor, miserable sinners, as we confess to be. And we will always be poor managers. Part of that is because, you know, this is all law, and there's always a better way you could have managed your money. There's always a better way you could have managed your time. There's always a better way you could have managed your abilities. Like, according to the law, there's always one more thing you could have done right. But it doesn't change the fact that we are not perfect beings. Dishonest managers. That's what we become. Unjust managers. But however, we do have a Savior who is nothing like us in that regard. See, Jesus came to be the perfect manager. You ever read through and notice how Jesus manages his earthly life? Like, you find him waking up early in the morning, that way he can pray. First thing, right? He's going to manage his time, he's going to manage what he's going to do, and he's going to give his life in service to the Lord. And then, of course, as you know, people crippled and lame and all this, and they're all coming to him, and they're seeking something from Jesus. And what does Jesus do? But he puts in the long hours. You know, as the crowd is pressing around him, he does. He heals people. Day in, day out. Like, he's always using his time. He's always using his abilities to provide for those who are around him. And then, you know, Jesus didn't really have a whole lot of wealth, at least not in terms of what we would think. You know, he's kind of a nomad, just wanders around Israel for 3 years, and so he doesn't have much. But you remember that event where someone donated 5 loaves and 2 fish? And instead of like multiplying money, Jesus takes this meager amount of food and he multiplies it. That way everybody has a little bit to eat. And in fact, more than a little bit, because they gathered 12 baskets full of leftovers. But Jesus is all about giving. And we see the same thing happen at the end of his life. Right? He sheds his blood. He lets it pour out of his body. He allows himself to be beaten from an inch from his life. And then he hangs on the cross for far longer than we would ever expect anybody to hang on a cross. And at the right moment, he breathes his last breath and he gives up his life for you. Jesus even spends his life well because he knows what he's going to gain by it. It's not an eternal dwelling for himself, although he does have that. He does it that way you may have an eternal dwelling. And of course, Jesus is God's triumphant Son who rises from the dead 3 days later. But he hasn't given up his management. He's still managing his church. He's still guiding you into the way of truth, guiding you into the word, and most especially declaring that you are forgiven. It's a reality for you right now. And honestly, Jesus wants you to make good use of those things. And so as we consider, again, like our lives and the things that we have and the time that we have and all of this, we don't deserve any of it. Like, honestly, the master should come. The rich man should come and be like, guess what? I'm taking it all away from you. You know, God would be perfectly, you know, within his rights to do that. But he doesn't. And in fact, he even commends us for being shrewd. Because isn't it kind of, I don't want to say crafty or underhanded, but it's rather shrewd of us to make use of what Jesus has done. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve the blood he shed. We don't deserve his death on the cross, nor his resurrection. And yet it's there, and we have good use of it. And so we should. We should be shrewd in receiving the word. We should be shrewd in receiving the sacraments. Because God will commend you for it, and you will gain an eternal dwelling. Now, that doesn't release us from what we're actually required to do, and the lesson that Jesus is actually going to be telling us through this parable. Now, this is just the first part. Next week is on wealth also. But we shouldn't be using what God has given us for ourselves. I mean, certainly, provide for your family, right? Make sure people have food in their mouths. I'm not trying to go so far as to say every dime needs to be spent on your neighbor. But God has given us wealth that way our neighbor might benefit from it. He's given us time that way our neighbor might benefit from it. He's given us abilities that way our neighbor might benefit it. And when we benefit our neighbor, we glorify God's name at the same time. And so, yes, dear Christians, what God is telling you is that you shouldn't squander or waste what the Lord has given you in this life. You should use it for the sake of others and to glorify God's name. And this isn't some sort of like soft push towards works righteousness, right? Salvation still comes through Jesus, Jesus alone. But if you believe in Jesus, your faith will not be alone. Your faith is always accompanied by works. And Jesus tells us, especially today, that we should use what we have been given for the sake of others. Now, in the world, we should expect nothing but people trying to gain for themselves. People gaining unrighteous wealth by unrighteous means. People who cheat and steal and manage unjustly. But let it not be so amongst us. Let it not be so amongst God's Christians. According to our earthly management, let us be righteous. Let us use what we have for the sake of others. But according to our salvation, let us be shrewd. Let's take what Jesus has won for us and use it, even though we don't deserve it. Because Jesus himself has truly been merciful in his death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your shrewdness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.